Thank you very much. Today I'd like to talk to you about the effect of soil moisture on the efficiency of pre-flood nitrogen applications in rice. This is more of an applied research trial, and I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Manaka Jum, Dr. Greg Schwab, and Dr. Adote. Just a little bit about rice production in the mid-southern United States. We produce rice in many different ways. We can have water-seeded rice or dry-seeded rice, but probably the most often occurs is a drill-seeded delayed flood rice production system. This occurs on about 70% of the rice that we plant in Louisiana, with about 30% of that rice being water-seeded. In this delayed flood drill-seeded system, we have only three simple rules that we give to our rice producers. Rule number one, we recommend to all of our rice producers that you only use an ammonium or ammonium-forming nitrogen fertilizer in rice production. The reason is very simple. Ammonium nitrogen fertilizers are going to be stable under anaerobic flooded conditions, while nitrate nitrogen fertilizers are going to be very unstable under anaerobic flooded conditions and can be lost very quickly through denitrification. Rule number two is we recommend that our growers apply our nitrogen on a dry soil, and we emphasize that that soil must be dry and that they want to flood that soil as soon as possible after they get it out there. And we'll talk about the reason why we emphasize it being dry today in this presentation. But approximately about two-thirds of our nitrogen needs for the season are going to be applied pre-flood. And then we're going to apply the rest of our nitrogen needs at mid-season, at a panicle initiation, or between panicle initiation and panicle differentiation. Even though we emphasize that this nitrogen should be applied on dry ground, every year our producers ask questions. And some of these questions include, why is it so important that the soil must be dry when we apply our nitrogen fertilizer? Another common question that producers might ask is, Dustin, hey, I just got a large rainfall event. Why can't I apply my nitrogen into the water instead of draining that soil and allowing it to dry? Because, Dustin, you know what? I'll save a lot of money on pumping costs if I can do it this way. But we want them to know that, no, that's not a good alternative. Well, Dustin, is there a nitrogen fertilizer source that I can use, such as an NBPT-treated urea, that can increase nitrogen use efficiency and yield if I do apply that nitrogen into a moist soil or into a standing flood? So to answer these common questions, we wanted to set up a visual trial to emphasize the importance that soil moisture plays on our nitrogen use efficiency and rice production. So with these studies, we actually had two studies. We had a volatilization trial as well as a field yield trial. And in the volatilization trial, it was conducted right next to the yield trial. And basically what we wanted to do is we wanted to quantify ammonium volatilization losses on four nitrogen sources when applied on either a dry, moist, or a flooded soil. In the field trial, we wanted to quantify rice yield and nitrogen use efficiency under the same moisture regimes. So here's an example of what our field trial looked like. We had it in a split plot design where soil moisture was the main plot. On your right, you can see this is our recommended practice on a dry soil. The moist soil, as you see, is an estimated field capacity. The way we came up with our moist soil is we flooded it for a 24-hour period and held that water for 24 hours, and then we drained that water for 24 hours, and this was estimated field capacity. And you can see that the soil moisture is damp, and you can see the footprints around the plots where we applied the nitrogen, but it was stable enough that we could walk on it. It wasn't muddy and sloppy. On your right is the flooded soil, and when I say flooded, this is a very shallow flood, emphasizing a large rainfall event, about 1 inch or 2.5 centimeters. The nitrogen sources that we looked at for the two trials included, the first one was just untreated urea. The second one was an NBP-treated urea. We used Agritain Ultra at application rate of 3 quarts per ton of urea. The third treatment was a manufactured Agritain-treated urea. This is produced by the Koch company. This is currently not commercially available. But basically, the NBPT was made during the prilling process of the urea. Treatment number four, or nitrogen treatment number four, was a product called SuperU, again by the Koch Agronomic Services. This contained NBPT plus dicyanamide, or DCD, a nitrification inhibitor. Similar to the manufactured Agritain urea, it was made during the urea formation. Nitrogen application rate across all the trials was 134 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. What we did is we applied this nitrogen 10 days before we established our permanent flood on our soil. The reason why we chose 10 days is because typically some of our large rice fields in Louisiana take about 10 days to establish that permanent flood. So this is oftentimes our nitrogen is left exposed on the soil surface for this amount of time. For the volatilization portion of the trial, we basically used what we call the semi-open volatilization chamber method. Basically, we took sponges and treated those, or washed the sponges with a weak acid and triple rinsed them with deionized water. And then we treated it with a weak acid solution, phosphoric acid, with glycerin just to give it a little thickener so it stay in our sponges. And we inserted the chambers into the soil at a certain depth. In each of our chambers, we added our measured nitrogen, and we always had exactly two rice plants inside our chambers. Then we added our two sponges. The bottom sponge was to collect the ammonia that was evolved from our nitrogen application. The top sponge was to capture the ammonia in the environment so that we didn't overestimate the nitrogen volatilization in our treatments. Again, we measured ammonia volatilization for 10 days before we established our permanent flood, and then we kept measuring ammonia volatilization 5 days after our flood was established. We changed these sponges over a 10-day period of, or a 15-day period of time, and then we took them into the laboratory and treated them with 2 molar KCl and measured them for ammonium. Field trial was done exactly the same way. Actually, the volatilization trial was in or right adjacent to our field trial, and the only difference in our field trial is that we added three replicated check plots within each of our environments, our wet, dry, and moist, and this is so we could accurately determine a nitrogen use efficiency because we know we had three different environments that we were looking at. Nitrogen use efficiency was determined by the apparent nitrogen recovery efficiency. Basically, we took our plant samples at 50% heading and did combustion analysis to determine total nitrogen. And again, we calculated it with our check plots from each of our different environments within the trial. We conducted this trial for 2 years. 2014, we had four different rainfall events that occurred during our 10-day pre-flood period, which made the field trial and the results a little bit more difficult to see. But in 2015, it was almost a perfect study. We didn't have any rainfall events that occurred during our 10-day pre-flood period. So what we'll do is we'll focus strictly on the 2015 data today. Here's an example of what this trial looked like. And more important than the data for us was to give our farmers a visual representation of how these different soil moisture regimes had an effect on nitrogen use efficiency. So let's take a closer look. Here you can see on the outside, these are just border plots where no nitrogen was applied. Our first plot here is untreated urea, our MVPT treated urea, MVPT plus DCD, and our MVPT with manufactured agritain urea. Here you can see that the biomass of the urea is much better where no nitrogen was applied, but less than our MVPT treated urea. So you can see we are getting an agronomic response. Just looking at the same plots later in the year at heading, you can see that same relationship is there. We are getting an advantage for our MVPT urea over urea alone. Where we applied the nitrogen on a muddy or a moist soil, you can see that the results are a little bit more dramatic. You can see that our urea this time is better than an untreated check, but not quite as good as our MVPT treated ureas. You can see that there's a lot more vegetative growth on our MVPT treated ureas. Again, same plots at mid-season. You can see that that still holds true. This is probably the most powerful picture that we have from our study, and this is the one I wanted our growers to really focus on. This is why you do not apply your nitrogen into a standing flood. Here you can see that our urea is not much different from our an untreated check, and this is where we applied 120 pounds of N per acre. Same thing with our MVP treated ureas and our MVPT plus DCD. basically they didn't have much of an effect visually in these plots. So this to our farmers was to show them that, yes, this is a big no-no. This is why you want to drain your soil before you apply your pre-flood nitrogen. And this is the same plots at Heading. So let's take a look at the data. This first slide is the nitrogen use efficiency at 50% Heading. On our y-axis, on our x-axis is our three different moisture regimes. Here you can see that our NBPT treated ureas have a much higher nitrogen use efficiency as compared to the black line, which is our urea. Where we applied nitrogen on a dry soil, you'll see that our untreated urea nitrogen use efficiency dropped very low, probably around 15%. But we were able to maintain some of our nitrogen use efficiency if we used NBPT treated urea. Where we applied our nitrogen sources into a flooded soil, it didn't matter whether we had untreated urea or NBPT treated urea, the nitrogen use efficiency was well below 10% in those plots. Looking at yield, it pretty much painted the same picture. Our yield was greatest where we used NBPT treated ureas. They did give us an advantage on the dry soil over a 10-day period of time. Yield dropped less than half where we applied untreated urea on a moist soil, but we were able to maintain our yield if we treated that nitrogen with NBPT. However, all of our yields were less than one-half of our yield if we had dropped that nitrogen into a flooded soil. Looking at the volatility results, this is our cumulative volatilization as a total of the percent of nitrogen applied on our y-axis. X-axis is time, days after that nitrogen was applied. This dotted line represents when we established our flood. Here you can see in the black that the urea lost about 24% of that nitrogen over that 15-day period of time as ammonia. Ammonia volatilization was less than 10% over that same period of time where we added NBPT. Where we put that nitrogen on a moist soil, you see pretty much the same results. The big difference is the initial slope. You can see it's much higher on our volatility with our untreated urea. Total urea loss was about 26% over the 15-day period of time. And again, we had significantly less losses from ammonia where we applied NBPT. Where we dropped that nitrogen into a standing flood, ammonia volatilization losses were very low, all of them less than 10%. And this kind of contradicts our yield results and our nitrogen use efficiency, where we say that our least efficient is where we applied that nitrogen into the water. So this leads us to believe that when we're dropping that nitrogen into the water, we hypothesize that ammonia volatilization is not the main culprit here. Now we're looking at nitrification, denitrification losses. The other hypothesis is that our semi-aerobic chambers are not a good method to measure ammonia volatilization. Because some of that ammonia could have been trapped in that flood initially, and we didn't take water samples at the end of the study to confirm which is true. 2014, you saw the same results as we had in 2015, very similar. So in conclusion, we saw that our rice yield and nitrogen use efficiency were greatest when we applied on a dry soil, decreased when we applied on a moist soil, and was very low when we applied that nitrogen into a standing flood. We also saw that NBPT treated ureas reduced our nitrogen or ammonia volatilization losses and yield were applied on a moist soil. But it was much better. We were getting a benefit from the NBPT treated urea on that moist soil as compared to untreated urea. And where we applied that nitrogen into a standing flood, we did not get an advantage with any of the NBPT treated ureas. We hypothesized that ammonia volatilization was a major nitrogen loss mechanism when applied on a dry or a moist soil. However, when we applied into the standing water, we hypothesized that our greatest nitrogen loss was nitrification-denitrification reactions. However, it's going to take future controlled environmental trials in the laboratory to validate whether or not this is true or not, where we can take water samples as well as soil samples and confirm that. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Yes, so Justin, I'd be pretty interesting, and kind of as I would expect the results to be. But I'm a little curious on some of your pictures.
Okay.
Some of your images. There's a plot in the back that has a sign that says Chet.
Yes.
And that plot looks quite a bit better than the Chet, the border strip along the site. Can you tell us, and in some cases even better than the treated plots. So there's an example. So what is that Chet plot back here that looks better than, say, the Bolivian plot?
I don't
kind of a check that is, because it's different than the border check on the trial.
Yes, so the border is just a border. That data was not analyzed in the trial. But I was just pointing to the border in the trial just because it was easier to see. But
sure.
I wouldn't think that check looks much different from the border, at least from my eyes, visually. I mean, we can look under the muddy soil situation.
Yeah,
if you look right here, this is our check plot.
Oh, that's the check. Okay.
Yes, this is the check plot. Okay. This is the same as the unbordered border. To me, they look very similar.
Okay.
This is manufactured agglutinin urea. The sign's in front of the plot.
Yeah, it looked to me like that check sign was in front of that darker plot behind it.
Yeah, and you can actually see the different check plots in the trial. This is one, two, three.
Sorry.
I think four is back here.
My misunderstanding.
Yes, sir.
Correct. The nitrogen is applied prior to flood and one third in the flood water, but you see really bad efficiency in the flood water, so why not just apply it all before the flood?
So that's a good question. In our recommendations, we recommend that two thirds be applied pre-flood, one third be applied at mid-season. So the question is, why couldn't we just apply all that nitrogen pre-flood? Scientifically, that works very well. We know that if we can apply all that nitrogen pre-flood, get the flood established, that is the most efficient way that we can grow rice, and it'll be most efficient in nitrogen. In commercial production, that is taking risk. In rice production, we can have a large rainfall event where levees can be breached and be washed out, and then we can lose that flood water. If we lose that flood water, we reoxidize the soil, nitrification can occur. When we put that water back on, denitrification occurs. So you're managing risk, because if something like that happens, and you lose the water. And we can lose it for rice water weevils, where we might have to drain, or we might have some kind of stress where we might need to drain the soil. And in any cases like this, you actually have to apply more nitrogen in the backhand whenever you reflood. So in that case, you're chasing a risk that you're actually going to have to apply more if something happens. But scientifically, one application time with the flood is the best.